So is Hamas saying, though, that they are trying to negotiate a ceasefire and Israel is rejecting it?
Give us back hundreds, if not thousands, of Palestinian terrorists who have been arrested in Israel for committing crimes. And maybe, maybe we'll think about giving some of the just over 100 Israeli hostages back who we've been holding. Well, why doesn't Israel just put down their weapons? Because how do you negotiate with a terrorist regime?
Welcome to A Jew and a Gentile Discuss. I'm your co-host, Carly Berna.
And I'm Ezra Benjamin.
We're a Jew and a Gentile who both believe in Jesus and believe that there's value in looking at history as well as today's world in the headlines through both a Jewish and a Christian lens.
Just a heads up before we dive into our topic today, Carly, you know, A Jew and a Gentile Discuss is listener supported, and we want to give you, our listeners, an opportunity at the end of this program to get more involved. So stay tuned for those details. Let's discuss.
Well, Ezra, it's always good to be here with you. Unfortunately, Likewise. We're always talking about the Israel war recently.
I know, these days, right? We don't have much of an option, but it's an important thing to talk about. So
as of this recording, it's the 165th day since the war began,
Nuts.
Which we want to say that because you'll probably hear this in a couple of weeks. We're going to talk about current events, which may have changed by the time that you're listening to this.
Exactly. And yet there seems to be this continuous thread of increasing. If you're following the news, almost any channel you look at other than like news coming out of Israel, right? Like Jerusalem Post, jpost.com.
Yeah.
Any channel you're going to look at in the U.S. or wherever you're listening or looking is probably increasingly suspicious of Israel's tactics and motivations at this point, or just outright brazenly critical of Israel, of the Jewish state, of how is this not over? Look at the rising death toll in Gaza. And not to simplify or whitewash any of the tragedy that is happening in the Gaza Strip and among the millions of people who call that home, but it's more complicated than that. And so,
you're just barely hearing about Israel.
Exactly.
Like when it first happened, you go to the news sites and it's everywhere. Now we're talking about the election.
It's like Ukraine, right?
Yes.
This is terrible. This is the closest to World War III. Moving on.
Yeah.
Because we're fickle, right? And we either have a threshold for drama and trauma and just have to disengage, or you know, whatever, something else, you know, piques our interest and we move on. But the Middle East has not moved on. Israel certainly hasn't moved on. And as of day 165, just two comments, because again, this is all, you know, it's a dynamic situation. And who knows by the time we get this out in a few days, what'll be. But Hezbollah on the northern border, which, you know, we said this at the top of days after October 7th during our first episode on this topic, Carly, but Hezbollah actually means in Arabic the people of Allah. Hezb is a people, like a people group, and Allah. So the people of Allah, this other terrorist regime, similar to Hamas, though they hate each other, they have a shared hatred for the Jewish people and the Jewish state, is as they promised to do. Their leaders said days after October 7th, when people asked the Hezbollah leaders, are you going to attack? And they said, not now, but there will be a time. Those were the, you know, if you translate it out of the Arabic into the English, not right now, but we will have our time. There will be a time. So the question right now is this that time? All signs point to it very well. Could be they're arming, you know, they're gathering arms on the border between Lebanon and Israel and the northern border of Israel. Rockets are flying with increasing frequency. Israel is sending troops up. I have some extended family members who just finished, you know, like 100 days of service in the Gaza Strip. Praise God, they were protected and they made it out alive with no injuries. And now they're hearing through their own, you know, through the grapevine, through their military superiors, be ready because you may need to go to the north next.
Yeah.
So we have that going on the northern border, and then back to Gaza, to the Gaza Strip. Like just today, there's two contrasting headlines. So just to give an idea, because this is so thematic. So most news outlets, if you look on March 18th, you know, if you have to look back on March 18th headlines, you're going to see two things. Most of what you're going to see is Israel military invades the Al-Shifa hospital, which is one of the largest. You know, we heard about this with another hospital in Gaza Strip a few months ago. So again, Israel invades Al-Shifa hospital, which is one of the largest, true, it's a fact, one of the largest hospitals in the Gaza Strip, designed to care for Palestinians, Gazans, needing medical care. And the accusation is Israel is basically systematically attacking all the infrastructure that would be used to care for the Gazan people. And at face value, you go, why would a military invade a hospital, right? Even in a war zone, Hospitals are supposed to be off limits.
Right.
And Israel's saying, we're going there on a targeted, surgically precise attack, no pun intended, because we know that Hamas is basing themselves there, that there's key
purposely, right?
Yeah. That Hamas as an Islamic jihadist terrorist regime, not a people movement, an Islamic jihadist terrorist regime committed to jihad, holy war, for the sake of Allah, and in this case by their charter document, specifically aimed at wiping out the Jewish people and the Jewish state, that these leaders have actually chosen to hide in the Al-Shifa hospital. And the world news, even the European Union, I know Biden, President Biden had a call either today or very recently with Benjamin Netanyahu, and there's tremendous pressure on Israel. Don't go into the hospital. Stop. And Israel's saying, no, we understand through intelligence that this is a military outpost of Hamas. They're hiding, really hiding in plain sight behind innocent civilians. And everybody's going, no, it can't be. So what most news channels aren't going to cover, but if you go to Jerusalem Post or if you Google it specifically, you'll find it, even though most are choosing not to cover it, is so Israel did go in to the Al-Shifa hospital and they found and eliminated or neutralized, because he opened fire on the IDF, the Hamas Interior Ministry operational chief. His family name is Mabou. I'm not saying it well because I don't speak Arabic very well. But this Minister Mabou was hiding in Al-Shifa Hospital. He was found by the IDF. He opens fire on the IDF and, of course, is neutralized. Mm-hmm. If you fire at an army, you're going to be neutralized.
Yeah.
But the point is, here's the smoking gun that a top Islamic jihadist terrorist leader, okay, one of the top leaders in Hamas, is hiding in the hospital. The world doesn't want to talk about this. What we want to talk about is the more popular headline that we can all get angry about, that the Israeli military invades, you know, a hospital. So what's my point? Again, not to minimize the great suffering that's happening among the 2.2 million men, women, and children who call Gaza home, Palestinians, or we could say specifically Gazans, right? Not to minimize their suffering, but also to say to our audience, to our listeners, this is not a simple issue. This mm-hmm. is enormously complex. If you look, and I'll say, even if you look at one channel coming out of Israel, you're going to get a particular version of the truth. And I would just say, when you read a headline that doesn't make sense, okay, Israel attacking innocent Gazans. Okay, if the name of the IDF, Israel Defense Force, is only to defend Israel against imminent attack and not to offend the reason, and you read a headline that would indicate Israel's aggressively mowing down innocent life, my challenge to our listeners would be, why don't you look at some other headlines?
Yeah.
Why don't you do some research and figure out what's actually going on? And I think that's part of, you know, we're not, Carly, we're not trying to convince our listeners to agree with anything. I think what we're trying to do is to inform and to educate and to say this is a super complex issue. But part of what we're going to talk about today as we talk about the issue of ceasefire in a minute is, when did the firing start and who started it and mm-hmm. why did it start in the first place? Because you have to come back to the foundation before you can understand what's going on.
Yeah, and I think even for those of us who live in the U.S., we can relate to going to, let's say, Fox News versus CNN. You're going to see two different headlines of the exact same thing. So we're always encouraging our listeners to get multiple news sources so that they can discern what's happening for themselves, not just one news source. This also makes me think about the anti-Semitism episode we did, just talking about how the news is, you know, trying to make everyone angry at Israel, you know, and people might be saying, well, why is that? Why? Like, I was just with some friends last week and I was telling them about this podcast and they said, yeah, why does everyone hate Israel and the Jews? I was like, what a complex answer. Do you have a few hours or do you want like a 2-minute answer?
Do you have 30 seconds? I'll wow you with my intellect. Right. But it's not, it goes beyond that, right? And that's what we talked about, just quick, you know, quick rapid fire summary of the anti-Semitism issue. We're encouraging our listeners, like, look at all the headlines. Don't just look at your preferred news channel to try to figure out absolute truth. But even beyond the headlines, for our listeners who are believers in Jesus, right, who have a relationship with God. They've been reconciled to him through that relationship with Jesus. In Hebrew, we say Yeshua. His mm-hmm. name means salvation. To go beyond just the headlines, even all the headlines, and to look at the scriptures. And that's what we had to do with anti-Semitism, to say there's this thing from jump, from the fall in the garden and God's plan to restore humanity through the seed, literally like the physical descendants of Eve. And we understand later on in the scriptures, that's the Jewish people, that there's this demonic assault on the Jewish people at large, because Satan understands very well not only did the Jewish people bring Jesus the Messiah into the world, but the Jewish people recognizing him as the Messiah, as the King of Kings, will ultimately bring his return to Jerusalem and will spell the end for the enemy of God mm-hmm. and the enemy of his people.
Yeah.
So throughout history and every generation, different circumstances foment the anti-Semitism, but it's this same root idea, right? This logically inexplicable hatred and animosity towards the Jewish people. And now, with circumstances being what they are, we're seeing that flare up in, I think, ways, Carly, that we haven't seen in our lifetime.
Yeah.
And the question is, how far is that going to go?
Yeah, definitely. So let's go back to the Israel war for a second. You
sure.
kind of hinted at it, but one of the headlines we've been seeing
right.
just in the past few weeks is this talks of a ceasefire.
Right.
So let's just talk about, one, what is a ceasefire? And then we'll talk specifically about, you know, why would Israel want a ceasefire or not?
Right. I think, you know, a ceasefire is different than a truce, right? Like at the end of a war, you have a truce. It's kind of this like permanent, like this thing is over,
yeah.
right? There's usually agreements that are signed. They're permanent agreements or for some extended period of time. And the idea is we're laying down arms and this conflict is ended, right? That's a truce. A ceasefire is usually much more temporary than that. So the idea is, hey, we still have a problem, but we're going to intentionally put down the weapons for some specific period of time for some specific intended purpose. And 2 points, if you think about the weeks after October 11th, right, or excuse me, October 7th, thinking of September 11th, right, another, you know, similar Islamic jihadist terrorist
yeah.
attack. Anyway, but that's a story for another podcast. In the days and weeks after October 7th, after the initial shock of the murders of innocent men, women, and children sort of wore off, what did the media start doing? What did government start doing? Immediately pressure on Israel for a ceasefire. Why? Because the world very quickly realized, not incorrectly, that Hamas didn't represent the Palestinian or Gaza people, even though they're the ruling government authority in the Gaza Strip, and that literally millions of innocent civilians were getting caught up in a conflict between a terrorist regime and a state they were trying to attack and destroy. So the pressure was, hey, create a ceasefire, lay down your arms, Hamas, lay down your arms, Israel, for some specific period of time for some specific things to happen. And those two specific things, if we had to generalize, were get people the aid that they need and
mm-hmm.
get them out of harm's way,
mm-hmm.
right? And so that's been the increasing pressure. It hasn't stopped. It's only increased in the world arena of debate and dialogue in the 165 days since then. Get the Gazan people the humanitarian aid that they need, totally reasonable, right, on the surface, and get the Gazan people out of harm's way,
mm-hmm.
those who aren't involved in the Hamas conflict.
This might be a dumb question, but if there's a ceasefire and one side breaks it,
right.
Is there punishment or like who?
Well, the ceasefire is over, right?
Right.
Because there's no truce, right?
Yeah.
Because there's no terms agreed upon of sort of like after World War I, World War II, like
yeah.
here's the new war, you know, rules of engagement on a
yeah.
world sphere. So no, there really isn't, other than the other side immediately has to take up arms again.
Yeah.
So what our listeners may not realize is Israel and Hamas were in a ceasefire on October 7th.
Yeah, I did not know that.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
It was a ceasefire. We're going to lay down our arms.
Like years ago?
For some period of time. I don't know the exact date. I would say like this you can Google. Like the pre-October 7th Israel-Hamas ceasefire, what date did it start? I got to Google it after our podcast episode because now I'm curious. But for some period of time, right, the missiles previously, we can think about it. Almost every summer, right, missiles were coming out. It's like in Israel, there's four seasons. There's fall, there's winter, there's spring, and there's missiles from Gaza.
Yeah, unfortunately.
And I say that kind of, tongue in cheek, but that's how it had been for years. But there was this ceasefire agreement. Okay, Hamas isn't going to shoot missiles, right, over the wall from Gaza into Israel, and Israel is not going to take military action inside the Gaza Strip.
Mm-hmm.
Great. There's a ceasefire. So Hamas broke that ceasefire on October 7th. And if you listen to some of their key operatives, they said, we knew Israel was politically divided. We understood it was a holiday season. And basically, we knew Israel would be distracted. Now, how did the IDF miss it? That's going to be post-war tribunals and all kinds of stuff in Israel that I'm sure, you know, we'll do our best to keep our listeners and our audience updated on in the months and years to come. Today is not that day. But basically, Israel was militarily along the Gaza border somehow asleep at the wheel, and Hamas took advantage of this opportunity to unilaterally end the ceasefire agreement they had with Israel and to send hundreds and hundreds of men in, armed, to attack and mow down innocent lives. So Hamas ended a ceasefire on October 7th.
So the recent talks of a ceasefire, what's breaking down there? Like, is Hamas asking for something Israel doesn't want to agree to? Or
Yeah, it's a great question. So, and again, super complex issue. Like everything I'm saying, like there's complexities, there's nuances. It's not an easy situation. And I will say, we know and we see, you don't have to look into too many headlines to see the humanitarian situation in Gaza stinks. Mm-hmm. People are without food, they're without medicine, they're without water. Before October 7th, interesting thing to research too, 500 trucks a day, Carly, would come in through the two crossings, either from Egypt or from Israel, into the Gaza Strip full of commercial supplies for, you know, like food, medicine, whatever, clothing, or humanitarian aid that was being donated. 500 a day, and yet hundreds of thousands of people had no access to it. Where did it go?
Hmm.
Where 500 semis a day coming into Gaza every day of the year, and yet it was a humanitarian crisis before October 7th.
Mm-hmm.
What was Hamas doing with that stuff, and how did it not make it to the people?
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, the great tragedy is that since October 7th, the number of trucks per day went from 500 to just 95.
Wow.
And we've seen the footage, right? There's so much desperate humanitarian need that whenever those trucks come in or the ships come in, people just pounce on them. It's a really bad situation.
Mm-hmm.
And the accusation has been, well, Israel's not allowing it. And if Israel would just do a ceasefire, if Israel would just lay down their arms, think of all the humanitarian aid that could come in. But here's the problem, and I want to refer our listeners to what we talk about so often, what happened the night of October 7th, right? The Israel International Media spokesman came on, really it was a radio address. I think there was video, but it was more important to hear his words than see his face. And he said, as the days and weeks, and I think he said, as the months roll on, which, you know, we went, months? Well, 165 days in, and things aren't much better. He said, the world is going to turn increasingly against the military actions we've chosen to take. And he said, but remember why it started. And that's what we have to come back to in this idea of why doesn't Israel just accept a ceasefire? Because Hamas, by its definition, we can't say this enough because the media is not saying it. So we'll say it here. Hamas, by its charter documents, fact check us on this, guys, if you're listening, by its charter documents, exists principally to wipe out the Jewish state and Jewish people wherever they are in the region. This is why they exist. Their worldview is that we're actually doing the work of Allah through jihad, mm-hmm. through holy war, as a people liberating movement. And the way that we liberate our people is to mow down Jewish lives and, to the best of our ability, eliminate the Jewish state. So if that's somebody's stated purpose for existence, and they're saying, well, we want you to lay down your weapons, but by the way, the reason we exist is, given the opportunity, we're going to kill all of you.
Yeah.
I mean, like, how do you, there's no negotiation there. And that's the fact that the world doesn't want to. Dealing with, you know, the Free Palestine parades or riots in the streets and the issue of the plight of the Palestinian people, that's a separate issue. That's representing, you know, millions and millions more. But right now we're talking about a terrorist regime whose base of government is in this tiny piece of land called the Gaza Strip, who's saying, given the opportunity, we will kill you, but we want you to put your weapons down first.
So is Hamas saying, though, that they are trying to negotiate a ceasefire and Israel is rejecting it?
Hamas is saying that they're willing for a ceasefire, but their terms are take all of your military out for some period of time,
mm-hmm.
parentheses, so we can relocate to other hospitals and schools where we're going to hide our leaders.
Yeah.
Right? Stay completely out of the Gaza Strip. And by the way, give us back hundreds, if not thousands, of Palestinian terrorists who have been arrested in Israel for committing crimes. And maybe we'll think about giving some of the just over 100 Israeli hostages back who we've been holding with no medicine for 165 days. Right. So it's, again, it's complicated.
Yeah.
It's super convoluted. The terms are often unreasonable. And that's why it's so difficult. Well, why doesn't Israel just put down their weapons? Because how do you negotiate with a terrorist regime?
Yeah.
And for our American listeners, I would say I realize in some ways it's very different. But Israel called October 7th their 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine if Osama bin Laden on September 18th, 2001, or November 18th, or April 18th the next year, okay, said, I just want a ceasefire.
Yeah.
I just need you to back off for a little while so I can get... It's a non-starter. It's a non-starter because you understand that the person and the entity you're dealing with is a terrorist regime committed to your destruction.
So if Israel doesn't agree to a ceasefire, how will the war end? Does Israel have to wipe out Hamas?
Israel, and this is where it gets super politically incorrect. You know, we talked about this before this episode. Yeah. I'm going to say some things that are politically incorrect. But Israel made it very clear, again, on October 7th, Netanyahu stood up. He addressed primarily his own people in Hebrew, but then the world in English. And he said, this is war. What's happened today through the Gaza fence is an act of war. There's no question about it. We're declaring war. He did not say we're declaring war on Arab people. He did not say we're declaring war on the Muslims. Mm-hmm. He did not say we're declaring war on the Palestinians or the Palestinian Authority. He said we're declaring war on the terrorist regime called Hamas, which is centered primarily in the Gaza Strip. And he said, we will kill every Hamas operative. That hasn't happened yet. And again, right, our listeners are gasping, everyone. Israel made a statement. Israel actually made a commitment. And their survival in the region they're in, surrounded by nations and unfortunately some people groups who are hostile towards them, depends upon them making good upon that commitment. It's not an easy pill to swallow. It's ugly. It's tragic when humans are being used as shields by terrorist regimes. But Israel said, we will eliminate every terrorist operative working under the Hamas umbrella in the Gaza Strip. And the reason they have to, I'll say the reason they have to, is because you're dealing with an entity that says, we'll destroy you if we have the chance. And Israel's saying then we're obligated, not just for our own people, not just for the Jewish people in Israel, for the Arab Israelis who call Israel home, which is several million, for the Palestinians relying on Israeli infrastructure in that region, and for the nations around relying on Israel's stability in the region, like Jordan, like Egypt, we're obligated to eliminate this terrorist threat. So the war will be over when Hamas is no more.
Yeah.
It's hard. It's difficult things.
So for us as Christians or those listening, like I was going to ask you, do we pray for a ceasefire? I feel like the answer is no. Do we pray for the war to end?
Right.
Basically, I'm saying for Hamas to be eliminated. Like, I don't even know what the outcome is. Like, what do we tell people to pray
for? How should I pray in the midst of this situation? I think we can, you know, we can rely as believers, Jew and Gentile alike, on our knowledge of the Scriptures, Old Testament and New Testament, by the way, because the New Testament fulfills rather than nullifies the Old. More on that in another episode, right? We've talked about that. But I think we can pray that the Lord would protect innocent life. That's one. On either side of the border, right? There are millions and millions of innocent people wrapped up in this conflict between the Jewish state, represented by a government and its military, and an Islamic jihadist military regime that is represented and funded by radical Muslims living thousands of miles away, but sending money in to do their dirty work. So we can pray that the innocent lives, Arab, Muslim, Christian, Jewish, Israeli, Palestinian, all the innocent lives involved, that the Lord would protect and defend the vulnerable and the innocent. I do pray that the conflict would end as soon as possible.
Yeah.
But I also pray that any entities committed to the destruction of another people group, namely Hamas, but not exclusively Hamas, and namely those committed to the destruction of the Jewish people, but any group in that region committed to the systematic destruction of another ethnic or religious group, that they would be neutralized, that they would be eliminated. And I think that's not an unbiblical prayer to pray. The Lord is a God of justice and righteousness. And I think that's another thing to remember here, that we are not the judges, that the Lord sits on a throne high above the earth and is able to judge rightly what's going on right now so that no one will be able to say now or in any day in the future, I didn't have a chance to repent. This wasn't fair, you know, as the Lord sees fairness. So I think praying that justice and righteousness are done, praying that innocent lives are protected. And I will say, according to the Scriptures, not only because I'm a Jewish believer, people say, well, you're preaching to the choir. You have a vested interest. But I think, you know, we've talked about on other episodes, Carly, we see in the Scriptures that the Lord said, I'm giving this land to you and your descendants after you. He says to Jacob and the 12 tribes. And he says, I'll scatter you from here and you'll deserve it, but I'll bring you back because I'm a promise keeper. And when I bring you back, no one's going to take you out of it again. So praying that the Lord would defend the borders of the land that he in his faithfulness has given back to the Jewish people. Well, Israel's do it. Israel is not a theocracy. Israel is not a perfect state. The government and the people in that government are far from perfect men and women. But again, back to the scriptural foundations underneath the headlines, the Lord has said, this is kind of what I'm doing in the earth. And it's not for Israel's sake. It's because when they realize who I am, I want them to go be a blessing in my name to all the families of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
So protection of innocent lives, justice and righteousness, and that the Lord would help defend the borders of the state of Israel. And we see that in the headlines over 70-some years and counting. The Lord has, in miraculous ways, defended the modern state of Israel. Because
mm-hmm.
we deserve it? No, because he's a promise keeper and he said he would.
Yeah. I would also say for salvation of
Amen.
Those there,
totally.
The terrorists and the people.
Right.
We even have had people here at Jewish Voice who have been former terrorists that have had just transformation
totally.
Yes, in their lives, accepted Jesus,
right.
and now are believers.
Right,
so,
they encountered the Lord. You're
yeah.
right. And we're hearing that, I should mention, from our friends on the ground in ministries and congregations throughout Israel. And we're actually hearing it from Arab Christian pastors who are working very quietly among the Gazan population now in the Gaza Strip,
yeah.
that the ministry and the gospel opportunities, okay, opportunities for people to have a transformative encounter with the Lord, Jewish and Arab alike, are greater now than they've been in the previous four decades.
Mm-hmm.
Muslims having dreams and visions at night of Jesus
yeah.
and knowing who the man in white, and then they wake up and say, who is this? And they realize it's Jesus. It's
yeah.
Isa in Arabic, but not the prophet, the good man Isa in
yeah.
the history of Islam. This is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And Jewish people in their confusion and desperation all throughout the land of Israel. I mean, it's a tremendously traumatized society right now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something, you know, we're hearing about the trauma of the Gazans. That's for real. The trauma in Israel of safe homeland suddenly being attacked by terrorists in the land, in the cities and villages, and the loss of life militarily, it's been a traumatic experience as well. And yet, even in darkest times, the gospel opportunities, ministry opportunities are tremendous. So
yeah.
that's a fourth thing. I should have mentioned it, but you did. Super important, maybe top of the list.
Yeah.
That awesome things would happen and lives would be transformed through an encounter with the Lord through that whole region in this season.
Yeah, and that's what this whole podcast is about, a Jew and a Gentile who have the common belief in Jesus.
Right, totally.
Talking about, you know, things happening in Israel, but that's still our basis is
yeah.
this, our salvation in Jesus. So
Amen.
For those listening, hopefully this gave some clarity to what's happening in Israel, what a ceasefire is, if we should want a ceasefire, and encourage you to continue to pray for Israel. Your prayers
Amen.
Make a real difference. God is listening. He wants you to engage with him. And we hope that you do that through some of these prayer requests we just talked about.
That's right.
If you benefited from what you heard today and want to benefit others, we support over 80 ministries in Israel right now. And if you do feel led to give in a financial way, 100% of what you give through us goes to those ministries on the ground.
We've just committed an additional $1 million to partner ministries we stand with in Israel this year alone. So if you don't know where to give, we're able to take your gift and get it directly to our ministry partners in Israel. Please go to ajewandagentilediscuss.org to give today.
And if you want to hear more episodes, subscribe to this podcast wherever you get your podcast content. And we'd also love if you leave us a review and share this podcast with someone you know. And if you're not ready to become a supporter today, just let us know that you listen. You can go to our website, ajewandagentilediscuss.org, or click in the show notes for more information.
You can also follow us on social media at the handle A Jew and a Gentile Discuss. And if there's anything you want us to discuss or have us answer, please submit your questions at our website, ajewandagentilediscuss.org. This is Carly and Ezra. Thanks for listening to A Jew and a Gentile Discuss. Join us next week for another episode. The show is a production of Jewish Voice Ministries International.